Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast. I'm your host, Spencer Caron. On April 1, 2021, the Supreme Court decided Facebook Inc. versus Duguid. The issue is whether the definition of an automatic telephone dialing system in the Telephone Consumer Protection Act of 1991 encompasses any device that can store and automatically dial telephone numbers, even if the device does not use a random or sequential number generator. In a 9-0 opinion authored by Justice Sotomayor, the Supreme Court reversed the ruling of the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit and remanded the case. The Supreme Court holding was to qualify. The Supreme Court held, quote, "To qualify as an automatic telephone dialing system under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act of 1991, a device must have the capacity to either to store or to produce a telephone number using a random or sequential number generator," unquote. This decision narrows the federal robocall ban. Scott Delacorte, partner at Wiley Ryan LLP, and Daniel Lyons, professor of law at Boston College School of Law, joins us today for a conversation moderated by Danielle Thuman, attorney advisor for FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr.
Today, we are going to be discussing the recent decision in Facebook versus Duguid. On April 1, the Supreme Court decided the case in favor of Facebook in a 9-0 opinion. The case was focused on a definition contained in Section 227 of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, which prohibits the use of automated telephone dialing systems, also called auto dialers, to call a number without the consent of the party called. These automated telephone dialing systems have been defined by the TCPA as equipment which has the capacity to store or produce telephone numbers to be called using a random or sequential number generator. The FCC has interpreted the statute to cover text messages as well. This issue has been previously litigated, and the issue before the court here was really a core statutory construction question about the meaning of this term, automated telephone dialing system. The court was asked to decide whether the phrase using a random or sequential number generator modifies both store and produce, as Facebook argued, or merely produce, as Duguid asserted. With that brief background, I'm going to turn it over first to Daniel to give a deeper history of how we got here.
Yeah, so this is actually the third time in 3 years that the Supreme Court has dealt with the TCPA, although they've dealt with three different sections of it, which I think is a testament to just how poorly drafted the statute was when it was created in 1991 and how poorly it's aged in the 30 years since. So the first case was PDR Network versus Carlton Harris, which was dealing with a separate provision of the statute about unsolicited fax advertisements. The question in that case was whether a fax that was advertising something for free, in this case the physician's desk reference, counted as a violation of the statute if it wasn't actually soliciting anything for sale, but simply offering a free resource. And the Supreme Court remanded that case based on a nuance of whether the under the Hobbs Act, the lower court was required to defer to an FCC interpretation of that provision or whether it was allowed to decide de novo what the meaning of that particular provision was. The next year, we saw another case, Barr v. AAPC, which was getting at a portion of the statute that exempted from the robocall ban calls that were made solely to collect a debt owed to or guaranteed by the United States. So robocalls were prohibited, but the government made an exception for efforts to collect money owed to itself. The petitioners in that case were not government debt collectors. They were entities that wanted to use robocalls for get out the vote efforts and other political campaigns. And their argument was that by exempting government debt collection from other types of calls, that the statute violated the First Amendment, and therefore the whole thing should be stricken down. The Supreme Court rejected that sort of too cute by half ploy, but in a way that was remarkably fractured. Ultimately, the conclusion was 6-3 that favoring some speech over others on the basis of content violated the First Amendment, but 7-2 that the proper solution was to sever the government carve out and leave the rest of the statute intact. And so I'd call that a Pyrrhic victory for the petitioners in that case, in that they got the government carve out eliminated, but not in a way that allowed them to make the robocalls that they sought. So then finally, we our third time around now is Facebook v. Do Good, which originates with the Ninth Circuit. And deals with class action involving Facebook's efforts to send text messages to alert users of potential security risks. Over the course of that program, they sent a text message to Noah Do Good, who did not have a Facebook account, and despite his best efforts, was unable to get Facebook to stop sending him text messages highlighting that his account had been accessed. And so he filed a class action alleging that Facebook was using an auto dialer under the statute to send a message to his wireless telephone without his consent in violation of the TCPA.
Great. Thank you so much for all of that background. Scott, could you maybe give a little bit of an overview of the primary arguments on both sides, majoring oral arguments?
Sure. And, you know, for a full take on the oral argument, I would refer our listeners to a December teleforum, now reduced to a podcast, featuring Professor Lyons and my colleague Megan Brown. But just to quickly boil it down, the main arguments were about statutory construction and competing canons of statutory construction. So Facebook cited something called the series qualifier canon in support of its argument that the definition of automatic telephone dialing system should be quite narrow. The series qualifier canon specifies that where a modifier comes after a list, it applies to every item in the list. And so in this case, it would mean that not only to be an auto dialer, equipment must not only produce numbers using a random or sequential number generator, but also store numbers using a random or sequential number generator. They also argued that this narrow construction of the definition of ATDS that you arrive at using the series qualifier canon is the most consistent with addressing the narrow problem that Congress targeted in the TCPA, which was, as revealed in the legislative history, trying to prevent instances in which auto dial equipment had been used to call hospitals, had been used to tie up lines at first responders, or had been used to call every number sequentially on an office PBX, something like that. Do Good, in response, cited two competing of statutory construction. First is the rule of last antecedent, which is essentially the opposite of the series qualifier canon. It says that a modifier at the end of a list applies only to the last item in that list. So this would be consistent with what the Ninth Circuit had held, that equipment is an auto dialer if it has the ability to store telephone numbers to be dialed, whether or not it uses a random or sequential number generator, which would be quite a broad definition of the equipment and apply to most modern cell phones. As a fallback, Do Good cited the distributive canon, which provides, and I'm going to quote here, that a series of antecedents and consequences should be distributed to one another based on how they most naturally relate in context. The court disposed of this latter canon relatively quickly because it usually applies to a longer list where there are more than two antecedents. And in the case of the ATDS definition, there are only the terms store and produce as the two antecedents. Duguid also asked the court to construe the TCPA broadly in light of the Act's privacy protection goals and to keep the Act up to date with modern technology.
So that brings us to the opinion of the court. Would one of you like to give an overview of the court's holding?
Sure, I can do that. I mean, I think it follows naturally from that setup. The court essentially agreed with Facebook that the series qualifier canon applied, and that an ATDS must both store numbers using a random or sequential number generator and produce numbers using a random or sequential number generator, and that this is the best fit with the objectives of the TCPA as set out by Congress. What was interesting, one interesting thing about this holding by the majority is that the opinion relies so heavily on canons of statutory construction, and that Justice Alito in his concurrence really agreed, of course, with the finding, the holding, but had a problem with that. He felt that the court had kind of overdone the importance of the series qualifier canon, and that what was more important to him in construing the statute is that this construction arrived at through application of the canon was a narrow and to his mind, a more logical construction of the text that applied to a smaller universe of equipment that seemed more addressed to the problem Congress was trying to get at and which didn't reach modern cell phones. So he was saying, you know, let's not get out there, court, suggesting that the series qualifier canon is going to apply in every case. He gave lots of instances in which he wouldn't apply the canon and said what matters here is that it makes the statute make the most sense. It was also, you know, kind of interesting that overall, this was a very textualist opinion, but it was authored by Justice Sotomayor, and you have, quoting Justice Scalia's text on statutory construction, and that Justice Alito was the one quibbling with the textualist approach in a concurrence.
Yeah, and just to add to the layers of intricacy, the text that Scott was referring to was a book that Justice Scalia had written with Brian Garner, who's sort of the dean of statutory construction and was representing Duguid in this case in his first Supreme Court oral argument, if I remember correctly. So there's all sorts of interesting connections. I am not surprised that this case that comes out as sort of complicated as it is, I'm also not surprised that Facebook ended up winning. This is kind of a messy statute, right? That analyzing the language of to store or produce telephone numbers to be called using a random or sequential number generator, not at all obvious what Congress was getting at, even if you put yourself into the that particular time frame, right? Even just using 1991 technology to try to define what is it that Congress meant. So Scott, I don't know your thoughts on this, but did this take you by surprise, or is this sort of where you expected the case to come out?
No, it didn't take me by surprise. And I think what's interesting is that the issue finally came before a body that was felt itself constrained, you know, almost completely by the text. And so the court in an appropriate role here was not worried as the FCC has been about, you know, what's the implication of my construction on the consumers and on consumer complaints about robocalls, and wasn't as concerned with does the statute continue to apply to modern technology. They appropriately, I think, focused on, you know, what do the words of the statute say? And if that's your focus, if that's where you you dial in, then this decision is not a surprise at all, because I think their reading is one that is, you know, very plain. It's been suggested all along by litigants, you know, in various fora. And it was certainly a construction that was advanced by some of the commissioners at the FCC when this came before that body.
Yeah, and the FCC angle, I think, is an interesting one. It's something I didn't touch on in my overview, but I think looms as sort of a shadow over this case, right? Because this is one of those statutes that is charged to the FCC to enforce, and the FCC over several years has taken passes to figure out how the statute should apply. One of the interesting questions that I thought might have come up, but ultimately didn't in this was, for example, does a prohibition on calls apply to text messages? Which the parties seemed to concede it did. Justice Thomas raised that at oral argument, but it didn't seem to go anywhere, and the court dispenses that with a footnote by assuming without deciding. But the FCC also taken some passes at what counts as an auto dialer and what doesn't. One thing they said in the 2015 order, which was their latest discussion of the issue, was that a device counts as an auto dialer if it has the capacity to store or produce telephone numbers using a sequential, a random or sequential number generator, even if they're not actually using that number generator in the call at issue, right? So just the ability to do so is enough to trigger liability. But strangely, although the number of commentators had asked for it, the FCC kind of ducked the question that was at issue in this case, which was, you know, what counts as an auto dialer? Do you have to store numbers using a random or sequential number generator, or simply store numbers to be called, right? If random or sequential number generator only modifies produce, then any device that stores a number to be called later could conceivably trigger TCPA liability, which is what the Ninth Circuit had held and created, or I should say expanded, a circuit split that was had developed as these cases were proliferating throughout the court system.
Yeah, Professor Lyons, I think you raised a couple of interesting issues there I'd like to go back to. One is this question of whether a text is a call. And, you know, the court did dispense with that merrily in footnote 2 of the decision. But that's an issue that received a lot of attention from TCPA practitioners. The court notes that it's not addressing whether the AT, what the court says in the decision is that it's not addressing whether the ATDS definition and the associated consent requirements apply to text messages, and that the reason for the court's silence is that no party raised the issue. But it's implicit in the footnote that the court is questioning an FCC decision holding that an SMS text is a call under the TCPA. And that decision was based on the fact that SMS, short text messages, use telephone numbers for the delivery of messages. But of course, today, many of what the public understands to be text message platforms may not do that at all. On these platforms, a text is just a data service that doesn't ever touch the telephone network. So the question of whether a text is a call is not really academic. Really, is a core question that goes to whether the TCPA is a good fit for text messages. You know, particularly the penalties that apply under the TCPA look wrong when applied to text messages, which of course are sent in much, much greater volumes than automated calls. So if the FCC's decision that a text is a call under the TCPA were eventually reversed, it would create an environment in which either, you know, the Congress or the FCC could come back and perhaps put in place a more sensible regime with respect to texts. And I mentioned that you had raised two issues. The second was you raised the capacity issue and the fact that, the definition of auto dialer doesn't limit itself to saying equipment does these things with a random or sequential number generator. It says it has the capacity to do these things. And so, as you mentioned, the FCC had adopted an order in 2015 that looked at whether equipment could be modified without too much effort to give it the ability to essentially generate and send calls and texts without human intervention. That construction was, of course, overturned by the D.C. Circuit. But in not addressing the capacity issue here, there has been some scuttlebutt post the Facebook decision that, you know, that may be an avenue for, you know, going back to the FCC or some other body at court and getting the definition of ATDS expanded again, where the court has just narrowed it. I probably not a productive avenue for those who would like to pursue that. To me, if the court, where the court has said that to be an ATDS, you have to be able to store numbers using a random or sequential number generator and to produce them using that type of technology, it's almost at odds with the logic of the Supreme Court's decision to then say if it has the capacity to do those things, even if that those capabilities are not present, that it could still be an auto dialer. So I think the court, I guess it's a long way of saying, I think the court has pretty much put a stake in the capacity argument as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.